Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message on the armor of light. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. I'm reading in the book of Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11. "And that knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Verse 12. "The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Make sure that you are wearing the armor of light and not using natural discernment in these last days. If you're wearing the armor of light, then the devil's lies will be exposed for what they are, and you will not end up serving the flesh or the devil. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 and 13. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 14. I'm reading verse 12. "There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Verse 13, "Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness." For more information on ways that seem right, please read the book, The Gilded Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. The church today that is still conformed to this world is asleep. Paul wrote his longest letter to a church at the center of the Roman Empire. He was concerned that they would be overcome. In the first 12 chapters of Romans, he wrote to the church on righteousness by faith, the carnal nature, and the new nature. He spoke about sin, being baptized in Christ, and controlled by the Spirit, using terms that the church was familiar with. They had knowledge, but they were not awake spiritually. James said in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, I'm reading. This is in the book of James, chapter 1. I'm reading verse 22. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Verse 23. "For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." Verse 24. "For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was." Verse 25. "But whoever so looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." The knowledge and instructions God provides is so a man can examine himself, repent if necessary, and abide in Christ. Through the precious promises, everyone can live the victorious life and overcome this world by faith. If you're being overcome by sin and the devil, you're not a doer of the word, and reduce God's word to just another opinion. An opinion is a conclusion using your mind that you have not tested with the Spirit of truth. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 11. "It's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we also shall live with him." Verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. The word charging in Strong's is number 1263. It comes from some other words which means to attest or protest earnestly, or by implication, hortatively, charge, testify, or witness unto. Paul knew there was power in the gospel to bring transformation. He did not want anyone debating over the meaning of his words and not come to repentance as a result, or through intellectual arguments, the conviction for those listening to be diffused. Instead, Paul was asking Timothy to get God's people to attest these statements with the witness of the Spirit. You may not have tested your opinions because you don't want to. You prefer to believe a lie and be comfortable. Even having many opinions shows you are still like this world. Jesus specifically chose fishermen and tax collectors who had not yet been corrupted by the teaching of the Pharisees. They were to be sanctified with the truth as well. Jesus said in John 17, verses 15 to 18. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17, I'm reading verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. If you're listening to God and applying what he is saying, then your life is changing. If your life is not changing, then you are still listening to ways that seem right. In this world, then, you are either being conformed to this world or being conformed to the image of his Son. Your life will only become like Christ through listening to and applying the truth. In Rome, the church started well, sharing the gospel, but they were not established in the truth. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 12. This is in the book of Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Verse 10. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God, to come unto you. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that ye may be established. Verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 1, Joseph Edgecott writes, are you spiritually asleep? I want to share some important truth with you. Embracing these truths will set you on the right course for developing a deep and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. These truths changed my life, and if you will believe and obey them, they will change your life as well. Some truths in this book are repeated many times, and they're repeated because they are crucial and life-changing. If you do not take them seriously, your spiritual life will not change. Paul wanted to know that the church in Rome was actually changing through conviction and learning directly from the Holy Spirit. Only by walking in the light will you be established in the truth. You have to repent whenever necessary. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, I'm reading verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, that ye that dwell in them, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. The devil has not given up. There are only two kingdoms in the spiritual realm, and these are at war, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Those overcoming the devil on the earth are confessing their sin and learning from their mistakes. Those conformed to this world that love their own lives get overcome. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Through the gift of eternal life, you have the ability to hear God's voice and follow him. This is a gift that allows you to get to know God now. The devil puts out propaganda that will directly feed your flesh and make you comfortable in this world. You have to choose which voice you listen to. Use the light God provides to repent and learn. If you fall for the devil's trap, then find what lust of the flesh the devil used to draw you away from following Christ. Mistakes are not negative if they lead you to the truth, and through repentance remove the devil's access. The lies that you replace with the truth through deep repentance that stop you from sinning will become part of your armor of light. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Those born again living in Christ are a new creation. They are holy because they are obeying the truth and consistently changing. They do not treat the word of God as mere guidelines. James said in James chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word which is able to save your souls. God will show you the spots and wrinkles and blemishes, so you know what needs repentance as you walk with him. This includes all your opinions. Wherever you are still getting angry, for example, your faith is still weak, impure, or misdirected. The times when you get in the flesh are areas where you are ignorant, easily tempted, or believing lies. You should avoid these areas where you are easily tempted until you are established in the truth. Humble yourself and use the grace to learn from your mistakes. Your attitude towards sin is what makes you different from the rest of the world. Through conviction and repentance, you can protect yourself again with the armor of light in this dark world where everyone just does what they want, when they want. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Paul was begging the church in Rome to wake up and learn spiritually as a living sacrifice, based on God's forgiveness. Grace is the unmerited favor of God that you do not deserve. Mercy is not getting the punishment you do deserve. From the moment we are born again, there is no longer any need to seek anything for ourselves. The kingdom of God is here now. Living for self is just a way that seems right. You were given grace and mercy to serve him. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 6. I'm starting in verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and to the end everlasting life. Verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All sin is condemned in the flesh. We do not have to sin. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life, in thought, purpose, and action. God can hold back the consequences of sin for a while to give us a chance to repent, not be selfish, and change. God is also faithful to the truth, and everyone will eventually reap whatever they are sowing if they do not repent, as otherwise God lied. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. This is Galatians chapter 6. I'm reading verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In the book The Gilded Prism, revised edition, in chapter 4, on page 40, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the root of all sin is your lordship along with its natural understanding, desires, and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh or do good works to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests. But instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires from your carnal nature. Doing something out of your carnal nature to get whatever you want or desire will separate you from God and make you a slave to sin again. You might justify meeting your own basic needs without asking God, but this is sin. Using the carnal nature is choosing to live in darkness. Carnal Christians do not find it easy to hear or discern the perfect will of God. They quickly give up and make the decisions themselves instead. They also believe sinning is okay now and again, or doesn't matter as long as you have a heart after God. This is true, but not truth. God's grace is there for you to learn a new way of life and make no provision for the flesh. But time is running out. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. I'm reading in the book of Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1 on Spiritual Maturity, on page 9, Joseph Hedgecott writes, I consistently obeyed Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That was Paul's focus, and that was my focus. If you want to become spiritually mature, it must be your focus. My flesh weakened to the point that it no longer had the power to stop me from obeying the Lord. It did not slow me down. Then finally, it had no place in me. I was able to walk in kingdom principles and grow up in the Lord. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But I spend very little time in the flesh. If I make a mistake, I repent quickly. I ask the Lord to show me how Satan and my flesh were able to lead me astray. I ask for divine revelation about how to keep from making that mistake again. I do not want my flesh to have any power over me, so I maintain the attitude that my flesh is the enemy. Many do not believe in their heart that the flesh can be crucified. They have tried to kill the flesh without first moving into the Spirit. Everything works when you follow God's instructions by faith. If you are still seeking the things in this world, you may not believe the flesh is your enemy, and end up sinning again to get what you want. The flesh makes its demands based on unbelief. You are supposed to kill the flesh when it's screaming and just about to die. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 15. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 3. I'm reading verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Verse 15. While it is said today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. You need to study what the Holy Spirit is showing you through conviction. God can speak in many ways. Never hinder or resist conviction in your own life. The word of truth will set prisoners free, both in the church and in the world. Preachers and evangelists know the importance of the Bible, but they do not necessarily know the importance of the rightly divided word of truth and conviction. Those who hear the truth and do not change are processing the truth with their minds instead. We read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. This is in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. I'm reading verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and has revealed them unto babes. Verse 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Conviction and repentance is a blessing authorized by God. Now through the Spirit, the least person in the body of Christ can recognize when something is wrong. While the whole world is living in darkness using their own intellect, God has authorized his people to have light so they do not remain ignorant. Jesus said to his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 13. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Trying to come to truth using your own mind is not authorized. For you to use your own mind to come to truth means you do not trust God to lead you into all truth. When you know the truth will set you free. You may not know how to come to truth, but everyone can easily see from their own lives if they're coming to truth or not, based on fruit. Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him in John chapter 8, and verse 36. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8. I'm reading verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus can set you free because he knows what freedom is. This is not the devil's version of freedom that says you can do what you want when you want. The freedom Jesus offers is a freedom to serve God, who is not corrupt. Even the flesh is corrupt. And you will not come to truth using natural discernment. Leaning to your own understanding is not faith in God, but sin. For you to try and come to truth using your mind, you have to take over the lordship of your own life and use natural discernment. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. The word mind in Strong's is number 3563, probably from the base of another word which means the intellect, that is the mind, divine or human in thought, feeling or will, by implication meaning, mind or understanding. God's ways are higher than man's ways, as the heavens are above the earth. The most foolish thing you will ever see is someone giving God instructions on how to do anything. Paul, however, claimed to have the same understanding of Christ because he had the same humility as Christ. When you are humble, Jesus is your Lord, and you are not doing anything without his authorization. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30, this is John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. This verse describes the mind of Christ and how it was operating. Jesus trusted the Father with his whole life and did not take matters back into his own hands. He had to qualify to die first and fulfill all the scriptures before going to the cross. He had to suffer at the hands of evil men. He was raised from the dead because he never sinned and never stopped trusting God with his whole life. Jesus was a living sacrifice the whole time. If you do not consult your own will, then the flesh has no purpose. Paul also said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 4. This is Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. If you know Jesus loves you, then you do not need to know why God is making certain decisions. Jesus came in the flesh and was like us and never consulted his own will. You do not need to seek your own will because he cares for you. Jesus is not corrupt. He never sinned because he did not do anything without God's authorization or operate independently of God. Now you can have the mind of Christ and put on Christ since you've received the Holy Spirit. The mind of those who have put on Christ are not anxious, so that the Holy Spirit can put his divine thoughts there by his grace. In Hebrews chapter 11, you can read about those who have completed their calling by faith. They had to deny themselves, forget their own interests, and take up the challenges they faced. Paul also said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 to 39. This is Hebrews chapter 10, I'm reading verse 36. For you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Some see the narrow way as just an option. There is no truth and conviction on the broad way, so you will not grow spiritually. You'll be frustrated trying to study the written word with your mind. Jesus can be the author and finisher of your faith and direct you to the truth that will set you free through conviction. Through the witness of the Spirit, any child of God can come to know what God wants them to know now. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. This is Romans chapter 8. I'm reading verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you live after the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You don't need the flesh anymore. If you're making excuses for the flesh, it's because you want something for yourself and do not trust God with all your heart. The devil is a liar. For you to come out of God's presence, you have to first be drawn away by the lust of your flesh to sin. Keep the flesh dead, then you will not die spiritually. Paul also said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. This is Romans chapter 12, I'm reading verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The darkness was increasing in Rome, and Paul could see the church was still conformed to the world. The purpose of Paul's letter was to get the church to wake up spiritually and establish a new foundation doing the will of God. In the kingdom of God, there is no longer a system of right and wrong, and your mind needs renewing. Now the flesh is condemned, because every child of God, through the Holy Spirit, can seek his perfect will. A renewal of the mind will not happen if God's people treat the teachings of Christ as mere guidelines. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The word armor in Strong's is number 3696, and probably from the primary word which means to be busy about, an implement or utensil or a tool, literally or figuratively, especially offensive for war. Armor, instrument, or a weapon. The word light is revelation. So the phrase armor of light could be translated a means of revelation or tools of spiritual learning. You need to take conviction seriously, as this is God's alarm that you are defending a lie and repentance is necessary. Conviction can come through the sword of the Spirit, which is the rightly divided word of truth, or any other way too. In the Amplified Bible, Romans 13 verse 12 says this, "The night is far gone, and the day is almost here. Let us then fling away the works and the deeds of darkness, and put on the full armor of light." The truth established in you through repentance becomes the armor of light. By removing the works of darkness, you are closing doors to sin. Every time you repent of a lie, you repair a hole in your spiritual armor. The word armor means an implement or utensil. You need the full armor of light to make a stand against temptation. James said in James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. This is in the book of James, chapter 1, and reading verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Verse 13. "Let no man say, when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man." Verse 14. "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15. "Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." You may have received a lot of good teaching in the past, like the church in Rome. But the purpose of teaching is to make a stand and not give in to temptation too. Those serving money will go to places where they can still have a comfortable life rather than ask God what he wants. You can make a stand against obvious evil, but you also need to make a stand against ways that seem right. You will not complete your calling unless Jesus is functioning as Lord of your life. You may be gifted, but Jesus has to be Lord of your calling and of the gifts he has given you. Unless you have a strong foundation, you will crash and fall into temptation before doing the very work God has called you to do. God does not want you to be destroyed. He sees the end from the beginning and works on you accordingly. Paul already told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 11, I'm reading. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm reading verse 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Verse 7. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. Verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be content therewith. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. The phrase follow after is number 1377, a prolonged and causative form of a primary verb meaning to flee. It comes from some other words which means to pursue, literally or figuratively, by implication to persecute, ensue or follow after, given to or suffer, or press towards. If you're planning to flee the cares of the world, you can do this by going after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. You will not escape by trying to resist the cares of the world. It will help to be honest about the small details, serving others, keeping God's time, and make no excuses for unrighteousness and ungodliness. Be diligent and maintain him as your first love by keeping his commands. Peter gave a list of things that can be acquired through a right motive and right attitude, learning spiritually as you deny yourself daily. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm reading verse 3. According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Verse 7, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Verse 8, and if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins. Those going after the qualities Peter listed here are not blind spiritually and are walking in the light. There will be a certain amount of conviction necessary to expose lies in areas where you're making excuses for your flesh. The devil is not going to just let you believe the truth easily and walk in your calling and be fruitful. The devil's propaganda through the flesh makes you lazy, comfortable, and weak over a period of time. You will lose your love for God and a love of the truth and lose sight of your spiritual condition as well. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on pages 2 and 3, Joseph Hitchcock writes, the devil uses many tricks to keep Christians from becoming spiritual and growing up spiritually. We must not be ignorant of these devious lies. God has given me many truths that expose the devil's plans. God wants all of his children to know these truths. I've been sharing truth with Christians for over 40 years. I have traveled to over 100 different nations around the world. I've shared with believers from many cultural and denominational backgrounds. Some have had ears to hear, while others have not. I've been astounded by the large number of Christians who do not know the basic truths God wants his children to know. A few years ago, I asked the Father, what is the main reason your children do not know what you want them to know? He answered, what they think they know hinders them from knowing what I want them to know. I asked God what that meant. He replied, when you think you know something, whether it's the truth or not, you release your faith into it. From that point on, this is what you believe about that particular subject. You no longer seek any more information on that topic because you already believe you know the truth. If someone tries to share something different with you, you will usually resist it because what they say is contrary to what you believe. You believe you are right, so they must be wrong. This is not a problem if what you believe is the truth, but what if it's actually a lie? The devil's strategy only succeeds because God's people still have a confidence in the flesh to study and analyze everything using their carnal minds. They choose darkness rather than conviction in the light. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. This method of learning using your intellect will appeal to your flesh, but it's not trusting God for what you need to know now. God's chastened people rely on the work of the Holy Spirit to identify areas that need to be changed in their own lives through conviction. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, for he himself is judged of no man. Stephen was not one of the apostles, but he was wearing the armor of light. Someone seized him and falsely accused him of saying something against Moses and the law, and brought him before the high priest. Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, verses 51 to 53, this is Acts chapter 7, I'm reading verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Verse 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, that you have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. Verse 53. You have received the law by disposition of angels and have not kept it. The religious leaders were amazed at the wisdom that Stephen had gained in a short time in the early church. He spoke boldly. Despite their efforts, the religious Jews were completely blind. They had not kept the law, persecuted the prophets, and crucified the Lord Jesus. The devil used the religious Jews ignorantly because they were resisting the Holy Spirit. For this reason, Stephen called them stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart. The devil knows you can gain some knowledge of a truth this way using your mind, but not the whole truth. A fruit of not coming to the truth is that you will still do the things you later regret. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 16. This is Romans chapter 7. I'm reading verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. And for what I would, that do I not. But that what I hate, that do I. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Paul was religious before being born again and testified to the struggle he experienced trying to be faithful with the little knowledge gained using his own mind. If you get under conviction and the devil still has access, he can appear as an angel of light to your flesh and will let you have what you want. The devil will give you even more excuses to defend the lies you already believe and make you into a Pharisee. There are some leaders like that in the church today. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'm reading verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Those still trying to understand the Bible with their own mind are choosing to be ignorant. A fruit of this ignorance today is that many different denominations in the body of Christ claiming that they have truth, but they cannot all be right. Paul described the situation when he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm reading verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Samuel Chadwick, who was the principal lecturer at Cliff College near Chesterfield in England, said, "The man who thinks he can know the word of God by mere intellectual study is greatly deceived. Spiritual truth is spiritually discerned." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 2 on page 40, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "If your relationship with God is not what it should be, there are no excuses, only reasons why it's not working. Reasons can be identified and removed until there are no more reasons. Many of you get stuck at this point. You come before the Lord and ask Him to show you the reasons why your relationship with Him is not working. Many of you have told me you do not get an answer, so you give up. If your relationship with God is not working, you must have processed conviction in such a way that you did not come to the truth. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with God following Christ. Humble yourself. Spiritual learning includes conviction, changing motives and attitudes as well, following Christ. The most important revelation you need now is how to stop sinning. Those Jews that believed on Jesus had a confidence in the flesh." We read in John chapter 8, verses 30 to 34. This is John's Gospel, chapter 8, I'm reading verse 30. "And he spoke these words, and many believed on him." Verse 31. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." Verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 33. "They answered him, We are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" Verse 34. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. Through repentance and obedience to the truth, you'll be genuinely set free. If you commit one sin, you will end up committing one sin after another and fall deeper into the snare of the evil one. You will not hear the right voice until you humble yourself, confess your sin, and get back in his presence. In his presence, you can get to the root of sin and repent. The devil will try to keep you comfortable making excuses for sin and help you blame something or someone else so you don't get to the root issue. When you wake up and realize that you've been deceiving yourself, listening to your flesh for a long time, you'll feel very uncomfortable." Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I'm reading verse 10. "For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death." Verse 11. "For behold, this selfsame thing, that you sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. With God's help, you can clear yourself going through the process of repentance. Repentance from sin will give you a deeper reverential fear of God, a vehement desire for truth, a holy indignation at sin, and a determination to put things right with God. Paul had written to the Corinthians about their sin, and they responded positively to the correction. Godly sorrow came about in the Corinthians because they had a heart after God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 7, I'm reading. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1, on Getting Started, on pages 17 and 18, Joseph Hedgecott writes, when you confess and repent, the godly sorrow you feel should immediately go away, and you should move back into fellowship with God. His peace should return. Then you can ask the Holy Spirit to show you the reasons why you sinned and where the manifestation of the bad fruit came from. Because you are in His presence, you should be able to hear His instructions. Meditate on each truth the Holy Spirit reveals to you. Ask Him to show you how to break the habit of the sins He exposes. Ask Him to show you directly or through the Word what is correct instead of what you are doing wrong. The process of moving from the carnal nature to Christ's nature through repentance will be a continual process, and conviction will be more prevalent in the beginning. The more you repent, the more Christ-like you will become. Comfortable churches are often more concerned about outward righteousness, ministry activities, and earthly gain. God is not corrupt, however. He has no other agenda in mind except your best for all eternity. His motive is love, and for you to become like Christ. In His judgments, He balances everything, including motive and attitude. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, this is the book of Romans, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 13, on pages 200 to 201, Joseph Hedgecott writes, a root or foundational work has to be done deeply, by its very definition. This work cannot be done if your repentance is shallow and you merely want the conviction to stop. The length of time it takes for this work to be done is directly proportional to how quickly and thoroughly you repent of what a truth exposes in you. God is always right, and through truth and conviction will set you free. Those wearing the armor of light are free and protected from lies by becoming a new creation in Christ. If you are born again, you have the possibility any time to get back in His presence through the forgiveness of sin and get His help. Live in the light. Don't just visit the light. Admit that you preferred your flesh above God and were resisting the process of conviction. A deep repentance from sin will also prepare you to help others. The lessons you learn through a love for the truth and conviction is what others also are missing too. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Verse 25. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Because of what Jesus did, you should want to help others. Remember, anyone born again already has all the tools they need to repent and get to the root of sin themselves through the gift of eternal life. If they're using their natural mind instead, they will not come to the truth. Jesus said in John 17, verses 2 and 3. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The gift of eternal life is the privilege to know God now, not just know about God. Eternal life is a gift by grace, essential to all those children of God following Christ on the narrow way, pleasing God. If you confess your sins, you can ask God any question on how to stop sinning, because eternal life is the possibility to fellowship with God. God now expects everyone, everywhere, to be good at repentance. Paul was speaking in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 to 31. This is Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Very few understand how Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave without ever sinning. Jesus was tempted in every way like us, and he never used his divine nature. He acknowledged God in everything he did, and you can do the same. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. In practice, you only trust God to the level you know he cares for you and loves you. When you first experience his love through the forgiveness of sins, you should have put on Christ. Also, without the fear of the Lord, you'll become wise in your own eyes again and not be delivered from evil. Being overcome by evil will cause doubts in your mind and hinder you from trusting God with all your heart. God can hold back evil to give you enough time to learn how to walk in the Spirit consistently and remove the devil's access in your flesh. On the paths of righteousness that he directs through the Holy Spirit, trust in God, you're safe. You may have a habit of leaning to your own understanding that opens a door again to the carnal nature. God can help you with that because your faith needs to be purified. You may have some bad habits that need to be broken, like leaning to your own understanding. Before you take over the Lordship, remember in Christ, you are sitting just to the right-hand side of God. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right-hand side of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Verse 3, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6, for which things say the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Maintain a love for the truth and the calling that God has on your own life to be like Christ. Those who are earthly minded feed the flesh unawares. Those keeping the flesh crucified abide in him and work on the things that God is directing them to do, even in difficult circumstances. Paul said in Romans 13 and verse 14. This is in the book of Romans, chapter 13. I'm reading verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lust thereof. If you feed the flesh, it will not die. The flesh is an operating system that works without God and allows you to make decisions based on your own understanding. Your life should be buried with Christ now by denying yourself daily and taking up your cross. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for as many of you been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. The word baptized in Strong's is number 907. It comes from a derivative of another word which means to make whelmed, or that is fully wet. It's used in the New Testament of ceremonial ablution, especially technically of the ordinance of Christian baptism. It means to baptize or to wash. Those buried with Christ have the humility and mind of Christ and do not resurrect the flesh by consulting their own will. Baptism in Christ is death to the old nature, to do the will of God. You get access to the grace and knowledge God provides daily. The devil gets access to man through the carnal nature, but God's people have another system of learning through the Holy Spirit. The devil does not have access to those abiding in Christ. It's only when his children seek what they want in the flesh that they come out of God's presence and are vulnerable again. Paul had taught Timothy and shared with him testimonies of faith, seeking God's perfect will and how he had overcome without ever getting in the flesh. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, then it may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. For more information on becoming a soldier of Jesus Christ, please read chapter 14 of the book The Guilty Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Paul wanted others in the church to see the grace of God manifesting through Timothy. God can hold back the darkness for a season, but everyone needs to repent and remove the accesses of the devil through the Spirit before they fall asleep and become selfish again. Timothy was told to be soldier-like and concentrate on those who had been faithful to the word of truth and conviction. He was to share with those able to teach others Paul's example of faith in action. If you're following Jesus, you will also need the promises of God for day-to-day living. Jesus said to the disciples in John 14, verses 12 to 15. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 14, starting in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and the greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Verse 13, and whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, and if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep the commandments that Jesus gives you personally. If you need something following Christ, you can ask, because he knows you are trying to keep his commands, and you will have what you need. Do not compare yourself to others. Do not make excuses based on what others are doing or not doing. You should have your own personal relationship with God. Through repentance, your life should be changing and be more like Christ by now. If you excuse your bad fruit, you will never find the reasons why you cannot obey. You now have the possibility to overcome by faith and get all the answers you need through the Holy Spirit. James said in James chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. This is James chapter 4, I'm reading verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Verse 2. Ye lust, and have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. During this pandemic, those who've listened to conspiracy theories, following the news and world issues, have become earthly minded again. Earthly wisdom has brought confusion into the church. However, the wisdom that comes from God brings peace. Those who have become earthly minded over a period of time need to get back to their first love. After speaking about the armor of light, Paul said this in Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. This is Romans chapter 13. I'm reading verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. The grace of God is here for all the saints to live a godly life, acknowledging the Lord, always doing the right thing. When things on the earth are getting worse and sin is increasing, the kingdom of God is not shaken or moved. Paul said to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. This is Titus chapter 2, I'm reading verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort, rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Paul told Titus to teach about denying ungodliness and worldly lust, even if others despised him. He explained that those in the process of being redeemed from all iniquity should learn from their mistakes and purify their faith in the process. Everyone else was encouraged to learn how to live the Spirit-led life, be zealous for works that please God, and be part of the solution and not be part of the problem as the darkness increased. Paul also said in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 5. This is Romans chapter 13, I'm reading verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be ordained of God. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. Verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he bears not the sword in vain. And he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Verse 5. Wherefore you must needs be subject not only to wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Paul had to remind those in Rome becoming earthly minded of the truth on submission to authority. Believing all authority is from God looks very foolish in the face of persecution, but Paul became an example writing letters from prison. He was expecting everyone to learn lessons from the situations they were facing and bear the fruit of the Spirit in the face of difficulty with the wisdom of God. The gospel cannot be stopped. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, verses 8 to 10. This is John 15, I read verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Before putting on the armor of light, Paul told the church to cast off the works of darkness. To put off the works of darkness, you must make no excuse for the bad fruit in your own life. Those using the carnal nature to process knowledge will never come to truth and repentance. The devil will try to make you comfortable, so you do not seek or hear the truth and make excuses instead. The flesh is self-seeking, so you will still end up looking after your own interests and produce the wrong kind of fruit again. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 24. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've always told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Verse 23, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You need to see the flesh as your enemy. By serving the flesh, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let the flesh die, and do not resurrect it again by consistently walking in the Spirit. Jesus fulfilled all the scriptures and died on the cross. He did this by not consulting his own will, but he let God direct his path through the work of the Holy Spirit. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. Jesus trusted God to meet his physical and emotional needs and trusted him for all his personal needs, taking up his cross daily, doing the perfect will of God. He only did what he was directed to do, even if he had to suffer. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. This is Ephesians chapter 4, I read verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. Verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. For more information on the root system of the flesh and the spirit, please refer to the book My Sheep in My Voice, revised edition in chapter 5, on practical steps to fellowship with God by Joseph Hitchcock. Do not deceive yourself. The flesh is corrupt. The flesh has to be put away, even when you think something is obvious. If you obey Paul's instruction to put away the flesh, then this will force you to use God's operating system instead. Only the new man that is created in righteousness and true holiness can help you to please God now. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Jesus answered, said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 6. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Verse 7. "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." Verse 8. "The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit." God's new operating system will allow you to have unbroken fellowship and communion with God. Flesh and spirit are opposite and do not mix. Having two operating systems is not for different activities. To do anything from the carnal nature, you have to resist conviction, harden your heart, and keep deceiving yourself. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 to 32. This is Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you with all malice." Verse 32, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." There's no reason to get angry. In God's school, you learn from your mistakes with the grace of God and come to repentance. Jesus died on the cross, and you need his forgiveness too. Make sure you forgive others and keep no record of any wrongdoing as you follow Christ. James said in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. This is in the book of James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Verse 3. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Verse 4. "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 8, Joseph Edgecott writes, "Obedience with a pure heart made the way for the Holy Spirit to manifest in my life, in everyday situations, as well as in challenging, life-changing circumstances. When this happened, my relationship with God deepened dramatically. My advice to you is to keep it simple. Do not complicate what the Lord reveals to you. With revelation comes anointing. This includes conviction as well. When God speaks to you, he provides the anointing, authorization, with the word to do what he says. Do not prejudge how you think the Holy Spirit should manifest to you and in you. Do not be discouraged if you do not sense a dramatic flow of his presence. You may choose to manifest in peace, joy, comfort, conviction, or any number of other ways. Be content with how he chooses to manifest. As time goes on, you will experience his presence in many diverse ways. And when this becomes a way of life for you, as it should, you will no longer be tempted by anything the world, your flesh, or the enemy has to offer. With God, you can quickly reach a point where there is nothing in this world that the devil can easily tempt you with anymore, using the armor of light. You must be prepared to repent and keep working patiently on the issues he reveals. If you make any excuse for why you did something wrong, you will not discover the root issues involved. On the narrow way following Christ, you'll be uncomfortable, but with godliness, you'll be content. Paul had to ask a lot more questions on the narrow way, but in the process acquired understanding and insight that he included on all his epistles. If you're willing to get on the narrow way now and submit to God, it's possible to get to know and understand God. We read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. This is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 9. I'm reading verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24. But let him that glories in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Verse 25. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Those using the armor of light are changing. Old things are passing away and new things are coming. The Father paid a high price through the death of his Son on the cross to give you a new operating system with revelation through conviction. Jesus finished the work of his Father, making no excuses, obeying the Father. Jesus' commands for your life are pure. He knows what you're going through now, and he's praying for you as well. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. I'm reading 1 John chapter 2, starting verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2. And he is a propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Verse 4. And he that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. God has planned an abundant life with Jesus controlling you. Conviction is a blessing in Christ to alert you to the fact that something else is trying to control you other than Christ. Conviction of the Holy Spirit will lead you to repentance and to Jesus' commands for your life. Make no excuses, and the blessings will continue. You will need to ask God many questions using the gift of eternal life because God's ways are higher. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. This is Ephesians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 14. Wherefore he says, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Verse 16. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If you're born again by the Spirit, you can rescue yourself using the gift of eternal life. Through repentance, you will protect yourself and get more light. What you learn by making no excuses will help others overcome sin and the devil. You should have a deep reverential fear of God too, as you obey his Spirit. You should have a list of commands he's giving you every morning that he wants you to do or work on. To abide in Christ, you must endure correction, and he must remain the functional Lord of your life. Those on the narrow way are dedicated to doing the will of God as a living sacrifice. They act and do not react or get controlled by a spirit of fear. You should have no confidence in the flesh and be able to worship God and rejoice in all circumstances. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path, the broadway that leads to destruction. Looks good. It's signposted, heaven this way. Many well-meaning, good people attending church are on the broadway. And if you want to get on the narrow way, I believe this book will help you, The Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared with you a message about the armor of light. This is what Paul said to the church of Rome. He wanted them to put on the armor of light. They had knowledge. They had a lot of information, but it had not changed them. And you might be listening to this message today and see that same fruit in you. And I encourage you to go to God and ask the Holy Spirit to show just one thing you need to deal with. If you've never done it before, start recording the things he's showing you. It will be like a sin list. There will be things he wants you to change. And as you repent of those things, you'll not only remove the access of Satan, but you will strengthen yourself for the next time and prevent the devil coming with obvious lies and causing you to sin. I pray that you will put on the armor of light. Father in heaven, I'm praying for those who are listening to this message. I pray that they will go back and look at some of the scriptures that have been shared and allow the Holy Spirit to start that work in them. But they will see the things that you want them to see. Each person that is listening to this message is special to you, and you've called them to live the holy life, to live on the narrow way. And I pray for them that they will embrace that conviction and see it as a blessing. And as they begin to repent of whatever you're showing them, that they will find it's just so much easier in your presence with your help. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. You'll find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to our website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. I hope that this message has really touched you, and be lovely to hear from you. God bless you, and thank you for listening.